Well, good morning. If you got your Bibles, we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 1, the very first page of the Bible, where God said, in the beginning, as He created the heavens and the earth. Let me say as we begin, it's good to be with you. I have heard through the years all about this wonderful congregation. I've delighted to be here. I know some of you from different places and different connections, and I'm thrilled that I could be with you these next few days as we spend a little bit of time and talk about some things that are dear to me from the Bible, and I hope will be helpful to each of you as we study and concern ourselves about the things of God. And we are delighted to be able to do these things with you. It's good to be with each other. It's good to know other people. It's good to see how big the family is and to be connected with these things like that. I've got to say one shout out to one person particularly. Dick Harmon's with us today. I understand he attends another congregation, but Dick, 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago to this month, it was this month, I was a discouraged, weary preacher. I'd spent 15 years in a toxic church. I was dysfunctional, and I was very close to quitting. And the church in Kansas City allowed me to move there. Dick was one of the elders at the time. And they believed in me and gave me an opportunity, and here I am all these years later still doing this. And I thank him and so many of the brethren there that gave me that opportunity and believed in me. You know, you wonder what would have happened, but I'm thankful for what God has done. I appreciate that so much. I'm going to begin with a story. A story is told of this attorney who had gone to an L.A. Laker game in L.A. And after the game, he was driving, and kind of like you all understand around here, you got traffic. I don't know traffic like you all have traffic. It's just a wonderful thing you have here. And so he got stuck on the highway in traffic, and he decided he's going to get off the highway and go through some back roads and catch the highway somewhere else. Well, this road led to this road, led to that road, and he found himself in downtown L.A., didn't know where he was, and the little red lights came on his dashboard, and his car broke down. Dark, lost, not sure what to do. So he got on his phone and called for a tow truck. While he was waiting, a group of thugs came up to his car, and they were going to rob him. About the time that the thugs came up there, the tow truck driver showed up. A tow truck driver came up to the leader of that gang and says, now listen, this is not the way it's supposed to happen here. He said, I'm supposed to do my job without asking you for permission, and this dude over here, he's supposed to be able to wait without the fear of being ripped off by you guys. And he makes a great statement, and that statement simply was, everything is supposed to be different than what it is. Now, that's kind of a beginning of a really dumb movie a long time ago. But that statement is so true. Dorothy understood this in The Wizard of Oz. She said to Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. We look at our world around us today and we wonder, is this as good as it's supposed to be? Is this where it's at today? And we look at kids who are being raised in dysfunctional families, being shifted here and there and everywhere. We see the problems of drug addiction killing families. We see policemen who ride around in fear of being shot by someone who's angry. We see stress and worry over money that's crippling families. We see people who are angry and don't know why they're angry. We see churches who are lifeless and dysfunctional and lacking vision. And we wonder, is this as good as it's supposed to be? And all of this brings up to our theme we're going to be talking about these next few days. Life the way it was meant to be. Let me tell you a little story behind this. Back home, we always pick a theme out for the year. And from that theme, we make a booklet. That's kind of the cover of our booklet. We give to everybody. And everything we build is based on that theme. All of our Bible classes surround that theme. Our gospel meetings surround that theme. Everything is built upon that theme. And so this year, our theme was life the way it was meant to be. And all through this, we looked at the ideas. Are we living the way God intended us to live? Is this the way it was supposed to be? And so for the next few times we're together, we're going to take off this theme. We're going to be talking about different aspects of that very concept of life the way it was meant to be. We use as the background of this the idea that life, as we look in our Bible, is to be joyful. And this life is supposed to have purpose and meaning. And we're just not existing here, but something is supposed to be better than this. When Jesus came, he talked about that abundant life in John chapter 10. He says, the thief came only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We know what that word abundant means. It means a whole bunch. It means good. If somebody has abundant health, he has good health. If someone has abundant wealth, they are wealthy. Jesus says, I want to give you life, abundant life. And how we need to see how important that is, a life that God would want us to have. We notice other passages that are very similar to this. In Thessalonians, it talks about you may excel still more. The idea of not just getting by. The idea of what does it take? What's cutting the grade, passing grade for me to get to heaven? The idea is how can I have the abundance? How can I please God more and more? As we see again in Thessalonians, we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. And again in the book of Hebrews, and that we are convinced of better things concerning you. And then Paul would say to Philemon, you will do even more than what I say. That's that idea. We've got to stop and ask ourselves, is my life that way? Is my marriage the way God wanted my marriage? When I look at my kids, am I parenting the way God wants me to parenting? As I journey through this life, am I living what God wants? Is God looking down upon Roger and says, you know, Roger, that's exactly the way I wanted you to do it? Or are we kind of caught up with misery and sorrow and we're filled with worry and doubt and this is simply not the way that God intended us to be? So if you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of Genesis, if you will. And we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to notice how God made man from the very beginning. Read two verses here, then we're going to switch over to chapter 3. Genesis 1 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. In the image of God is how we were made. In the image of God, holy, pure, perfect, and good. And the word good dominates these first pages of the book of Genesis because this was the perfect couple living in a perfect world. Now, we'll stop there for a moment. You may come to me afterwards and says, Roger, I married a perfect wife. She may be to you, but she's not perfect. Well, my man is perfect. Well, you may believe that, but he's really not. But this couple was perfect. There was not a sin in their heart. There's no wrong in their heart. And they were living in the perfect world as God had created them. Have you ever wondered what Adam and Eve must have talked about? You ever thought about that? If we could eavesdrop on a conversation with Adam and Eve, can't talk about the kids, there were no kids yet. Can't talk about the neighbors, there were no neighbors. Weather, well, we had a perfect day today, Eve. I guess we'll have a perfect day tomorrow. I mean, can you imagine? Can't talk about, did you hear from your mama today? There is no mama. Have you met, what in the world do they talk about? But what God did before them, he put them in a relationship that was good, right, and wholesome. God didn't say, here it is, improve this model. It was perfect. And that's how God intended life to be. Now, if you got your Bibles, turn with me a couple pages to Genesis chapter 3. And Genesis chapter 3, what we're going to read about here is how Adam and Eve simply were not satisfied with this perfect world. And from this, we see the difficulties that came about from this. Genesis chapter 3, let's read the first 7 verses here, where, again, we read about Adam and Eve here. It says, Genesis chapter 3, and begin at verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you should not eat from any tree of the garden? That's the very first question ever asked in the Bible, asked by Satan. He puts a question mark where God puts periods. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. Verse 5, for God knows that the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband also with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, And they knew that they were naked, and had sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. I want you to go ahead and notice verse 8, because then we'll come back to the beginning here. Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Stop there. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you got up this morning, and before you went to the church house, you went out for a little walk in your backyard or walked through the neighborhood, and God was walking with you. That's how God intended this. God intended a fellowship with man. God intended a closeness with man. Can you imagine? Now, we walk for exercise. We walk power walking. But can you imagine walking along, God says, stop. Look at that little flower. I made that just for you. Listen to that little bird over there. All the things we might miss as we think about that. And so as we see Genesis 3 taking place, what Satan did with Eve is he discredits what God says. As God had said these things, he puts doubt in her mind. Surely things are not as good as they could be. Maybe I'm missing out. Maybe God's holding back. Maybe life is not as good as he made it. Maybe if I only had what I can't have, things would be better. And so then what Satan does is he deceives Eve. He deceives Eve by thinking that you're missing out and maybe things could be better. And he creates doubt in Eve's mind, and she gets confused by these things. And then she disobeys God. And she was not influenced by contemporaries. She could not say, well, I should have read that article in the magazine. I read something on Facebook. I saw a TV show. My neighbor said to me, there was no one but Adam and Eve. And eating the fruit was more than opening her eyes. It was more than talking to serpents. It's believing that there's something out there that I'm missing, that God has not given to me, that there's a better life, a better way than what God is offering me. And eating the forbidden fruit was that bridge. And from this, of course, three questions that come to us out of this. And one of the first questions we need to ask is, whose voice do I hear? Do I hear the voice of God over and over saying, this is what I should do? Or do I hear the voice of others saying, you know what, God said that, but I wouldn't believe that. God said it, but you can have it better. God said it, but there's another way. And then we need to ask, whose will runs my heart? Is it the will of the Savior, or is it the will of something else? And then we ask ourselves, who do I trust? Who do I trust with these things? And what Eve found was that Satan lied to her. Her life was not better. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, if you will, go back and look at verse 9 with me once again. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, to show you the impact of the consequences of their sin. It says in verse 9, the Lord God called the man and said to him, where are you? This wasn't a game. God knew exactly where they were. It wasn't like someone looking for something lost and I can't find it. God knew where they were. The question is, from verse 8, we always walk together. From verse 8, we have a fellowship. From verse 8, you love me and I love you. You have never run from me. You have never hid from me. You have never been afraid of me. Where are you? What Eve found out was Satan was wrong. What Eve found out was life wasn't better. Listen to Satan. And what Eve found out was that life, the way it was meant to be, is the way God designs this. And what we need to see and realize in our own lives is generations later, we relive the same story over and over again. Now, it's not listening to a serpent. It may be listening to a neighbor. It may be reading something on the internet. It may be listening to some family member who's not walking with God. And what they tell you is God is not as good as you think. And what they tell you is God hasn't been good to you. And what they tell you is you're unhappy and miserable, but if you do this which is wrong, you will be better off. And it might come in the form, not of forbidden fruit, but of a sexual affair. Oh, you'll be happy if you do this. It might come in the form of a pill or a bottle. It might come in the form of promising life that is better. And what we see the result of this is we live lives that simply falling short of the glory of God. And we see the result of these things. And do you realize there are many people, there are many people in the world today who've never seen what life could be like as God intended it to be. I believe disciples of Christ are living those lives. That's why we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We are showing the world things that they never see. There are a lot of people who've never seen forgiveness and grace. Oh, they know revenge. They know getting even. They know eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. And if you do something to me, I'm going to sue you. But to see forgiveness, they've never understood that before. There's a lot of people today who've never seen a trusting and thriving marriage. A marriage the way God intended it to be. A marriage that's built upon love and forgiveness. There's a lot of people today who've never seen worship that's meaningful and helpful. That you come in beat up and you leave uplifted. That you come in here and you see people who accept you and love you and care for you. And there are people today who've never seen the heart of a servant. You mean you're getting nothing for this? Why do you do this? Because it's the right thing to do. You see, the lives of you and I as disciples are based upon living the way that Jesus wants us to live. And when we ask these questions, we look at these things, we ask ourselves, wouldn't I like to have a marriage the way God intended marriage to be? Not just existing, not just putting up with each other, not just waiting until the kids are out of the house, but a marriage the way God wanted it to be. So God can look at that marriage and say, just like that marriage is, so is Jesus in my church. Just like that marriage is, so are brothers and sisters in the kingdom. Just like that marriage is, so is that a picture of heaven. Again, we need to see that's what it should be. Wouldn't it be great to raise a family the way God meant it to be? Not that there'd never be bumps, not there'd not be issues, but to have a marriage based upon love and forgiveness and trust and hope the way that God wanted it to be. And wouldn't it be something to have the peace of mind the way it was meant to be? Not to be beat up with worry and frustration, not to have all the things that weigh us down so often. Now, when we think about this lesson and what it's about, we need to see that sin, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, change that picture. It's because of sin we fell short of what God wanted. We remind ourselves of Romans 3, verse 23, where all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That expression simply means to miss the mark. When I was a freshman in college, in the summer, I was working with a summer camp connected with Florida College. And I was too young to be a counselor, but I was just kind of glorified flunky there. And they needed somebody to teach archery. I'd never shot an arrow in my life. But I'm 19 years old. I'm thinking of 18-year-old counselor girls, or 18-year-old girls campers coming. And I'm going to teach these girls how to shoot bows and arrows. So I signed up. I said, I will be the archery instructor. And so I went. Of course, I said, you know, before these 18-year-old girls show up, I better kind of know what I'm doing because I knew nothing about shooting bows and arrows. First one almost hit my foot. Second one, I think it's probably still sailing all these years later. I mean, it went so far and never did find it. And I thought, this is embarrassing. These girls are going to show up, and I don't know what I'm going to do. So I got about 2 feet from that target, shot it, took a few steps back. I kept doing that because I could hit it pretty good. But I found something out. Found out two things. Number one, hitting a target's hard to do. It's not easy. Secondly, 18-year-old girls don't sign up for archery. It's 9-year-old boys. Wasn't good. Wasn't good at all for me. Kind of shot my plans down. But you know, the whole point of this is, the mark that God intended is this life. I made you on purpose for a purpose. Got your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 17, if you will. I want you to notice a little phrase that's used here. We sometimes just read over this, but I think it's a powerful phrase Paul uses as he's preaching there concerning Jesus Christ and the things that God had done. And in verse 26 of Acts 17, it says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." Have you ever thought about that? If you're a female, how come God made you a girl, not a guy? If you're a guy, how come God made you a guy, not a girl? God determined. Have you ever wondered why we're living in 2017 and not the year 117? Why aren't we living in the BC time period? Why do we live now? God determined the boundaries and habitation of their lives. Your life was made on purpose. You're not an accident. You're not just here it is. God made you on purpose. And when God made you, he had an intention for you. He wired you the way you're wired. He put all that in you. You know, some people do not know a stranger. They can go up and just talk to anybody. I have a mother-in-law like that. She embarrasses everything out of me. But she'll just go talk to all kinds of people. Other people are wired differently. They're kind of visionary and they see things. Some people are fixers. Some people are compassionate. Where does all that come from? I believe God wires us that way. God made you on purpose to do something. But when sin enters our life, we miss it. We miss that mark. Just like Adam and Eve, all of a sudden life does not turn out the way it was supposed to turn out. And what happens is things become defeated and miserable in our life. You turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 11, that wonderful invitation of Jesus, where he asks us to come into him. Notice the words beginning in verse 28 of Matthew 11. We hear Jesus says it this way. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Have you ever thought about those words, weary and heavy laden? It's not from a guy who said, well, you know, yesterday, Saturday, I helped a friend move, and I'm just worn out. No, that's not it. I stayed up all night watching those Dodgers play. Man, I am weary. No, that's not it. What it is you're weary of guilt. You're weary of a miserable life. You're weary of frustrations. You're weary of worry and fear and uncertainty. And that dominates us. And what Jesus says, come unto me and get this life back. Get the life that God intended for you to have. That's the concept that we find there as we emphasize the forgiveness that we find in Jesus Christ. So what we do with our sins reveals whether or not we find that life that God intended. For some people, they hide their sin. Much like Adam and Eve, they just hid their sin. For other people, what they do is that they want to run and hide from the things that they have done. All right, I'm clicking, but it ain't moving. Okay, there we go. Okay, some will try to justify their sins. Some will deny their sins. And all this, what this does is it just reveals a life that's not going to be the way it's going to be. As long as sin dominates our lives, as long as we're walking on the dark side of things, we will never have that life that God intended for us to have. Now, having said that, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And this is why we find these wonderful passages that emphasizes the cleanliness, the freshness, the newness that's found in Jesus Christ. As he would say in verse 3 and verse 4, oh, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death. So as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. It's not just adding church to my busy schedule. I live a different life. I'm finding the life that God intended for me to live. I'm living the way God wants me to live. What does that look like? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. There in detail, the Apostle Paul shows us this very life that God intended for us to live. It begins in verse 17. So I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. That's where a lot of us have been. That may be where some of us are right now. But you, verse 20, did not learn Christ this way. If indeed you've heard him, been taught by him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to the former manner of life, you laid aside the old self, which has been corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and you've renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on a new self. Well, what's the new self? It's the life that God wanted you to live. And then what the Apostle Paul starts doing is, he starts identifying. Here's what that life looks like. So what he says in verse 25 is, lay aside falsehood, be honest. Be honest. No more lying, you're going to tell the truth. Wait, what's it going to be like? In verse 28, you're going to be honest. You're going to quit stealing. You're going to work hard as God intended for you to work. What's it going to be like? Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. You're not talking trash like the world talks. And you're not going to grieve God by disobeying him. And all bitterness, he says in verse 31, and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. But be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. That's what this life looks like. That's what the world never sees. And God is saying, this is the life that I want you to live and how God wants us to be this way and to see the great emphasis of that and not to blame others for the sins that we have committed. And so when we think about this life that God has for us, God expects each of us to be strong in Jesus. In the book of Ephesians, it says, be strong. Weak doesn't work. We don't like weak tea. We don't like weak backs. And we don't like weak faith. Weak faith won't change you. Weak faith won't make a difference. God says, be strong in the Lord. And you do that by getting into God's word and getting around God's people and to be faithful, to stay with it when it's easy, stay with it when it's hard. And God wants us, as we consider this, to be obedient to him, to obey him in all things. And as we consider this concept, God wants us to follow him and to trust him and to become a worshiper of him and also to follow him, be like Jesus Christ. That's the concept that this is. And so what we're going to do the rest of our time together is we're going to take off this expression, life the way it's meant to be. And I've pulled out about 3 or 4 lessons we're going to talk about. I did a whole series back home. I did 12 lessons. But I'm going to bring you about 3 or 4. Tonight we're going to talk about, what does Christianity look like Monday morning? Oh, we got to go to work. Oh. What's it look like? What does God expect of me when it comes to work? Tuesday night, Lord willing, we're going to talk about, what does Christianity look like when the bottom drops out? Good on a sunny day, but what happens when everything falls apart in my life? What's it look like then? And then we're going to talk about how we make this life work. How do we find this abundant life? And then finally, we're going to wrap this series up by talking about eternal life itself. And what does Jesus mean by life eternal? Such things on that. And so when we think about this concept, the life the way it's meant to be, it's meant to be a life of hope. And it's supposed to be a life that's beautiful and a life that pleases God and ends in heaven. And so that's our thoughts for this morning as we begin this series together. To understand that God has designed something for you. And he wants you to live that way. And when we're not living that way, it never works out. And we wonder, well, I'm going to church. Why isn't this working? It's not working because I'm not putting Christ first in my heart. I'm not walking by faith. When I lived in Kansas City, we had a lady there by the name of Dee. And Dee's mom and dad, or not, excuse me, Dee's daughter and husband were members. Dee wasn't. And through some Bible studies, Dee became a Christian. I baptized her. And she got cancer, real bad. But we thought she's getting better. She was in the hospital, and we thought she's going to be released because we thought things were going well. One Saturday night, I was getting ready to go to bed, and the phone rings. And it was Dee's daughter. And she was just in tears. I could hardly understand her. All I could hear was, come to the hospital now. So I raced to the hospital. They're in the waiting room. Daughter, son-in-law, their kids, everyone's bawling. I said, what happened? They said, the doctor just left. They said, she's full of cancer. 2 weeks maximum. We can't talk to her. Everyone's crying. You go talk to her. Don't you love that preacher? You go talk to her. I said, oh, okay, thank you. And so I went in there, and there was Dee. She was looking at the curtain. She wouldn't even look at me. And I said, hey, I heard you got some news. She just looked at me. I said, hey, I heard you're going to go see Jesus. Isn't that awesome? We talked about Jesus. We talked about why you became a Christian. We talked about some of the songs about heaven. We talked about hope. I said, I don't know if God does these things or not. And this may not be allowed. But I said, you know, my mama's on the other side. And if you get a chance to send a message to her or see her when you're over there, just tell her I'm okay. And we talked. And we talked. And I gave her some verses. Pretty soon, she was smiling. And things were better. And so I left. The next day is Sunday morning. I'm walking out to the car when the phone rings. And it's Dee's sister. And you have to know her. She's kind of gruff. She said, is this Roger? I said, yes. This is Dee's sister. I said, okay. I heard you talk to my sister yesterday. I thought, oh boy, here it comes. Here it comes. I said, yeah, I did. What did you tell her? I said, we talked about Jesus. We talked about faith. We talked about heaven. We talked about the foundations of what we believe in. Well, here's the problem, Roger. We're all crying and she keeps smiling. She won't cry anymore. And then she got real quiet. She said, will you come and tell me what you told her? I said, I will. I will. About a week later, she died. We buried Dee. About a week after that, I baptized her sister. But life, the way it's intended. You see, God made you. And God put all the things that's in you just the way you are. When I was a little kid, I had flaming red hair. Oh, I hated that. And it was curly. And I could have a natural afro by just coming out of the shower doing that. And all the ladies said, oh, I'd love to have your hair. I'd love to give it to you. You know? And I always thought, why can't I have plain, straight, black hair like all the other guys I knew? I don't know. God gave me that way. I don't know. But we need to see that God has intended each and every one of us to live a special way. And Satan has detoured us. And Satan has gotten things in front of our eyes. And Satan has said, no, that's not the best way. The best thing's over here, and you're missing out. Years ago, there was a beer commercial. These two fat guys sitting in a boat. And one guy says to the other guy, it doesn't get any better than this. And I thought, yeah, I can think of a, you know, sitting with a fat guy on a sunny day in a boat, I can think of a lot of things better than that. You know? But the point simply is, God made you for better things. God made you to connect to his other creation. God made you to live in such a way that people say, look, he's got something I don't have. What is that? God made you to live with a purpose and a reason and a direction, and that's Jesus Christ. Life the way it was meant to be. I think a lot of us have lost that. I think a lot of us are confused, and we're just kind of around here, just kind of scrambling around, just trying to get through this world. We're not sure where we're going, what we're doing, but here we are. God has a different intention in that. Oh, the difference you can make. Oh, the way you can honor God. Oh, the things you can step up and do. If I only understood that God made you just the way you are and put you just when you are into this generation where you are for a reason. Life, the way it's intended to be. So that's what we're going to be talking about. I hope it gives you something to think about. I hope it gives you some things to consider in my own life. Is that my life? When I really look at my life, is God saying, Roger, this is it. You know, before I came here, my best friend in the world was Don Truex. I know he's been here a million times. And Don Truex, all over the country, when he ends his meetings, he tells a story. It's my story. It's about me. But anymore, I preach where he's at, and I'd say, Don, have you used, and in the last two places I preach, he's used the story. So I asked him, he hadn't used it. He goes, I'll get to use it. I'll tell you how it really happened, okay? So, my wife loves symphony music. We have season tickets. I go along because of her. I now can understand the difference between Beethoven and Bach, but that's about as far as I go, okay? I notice what they're wearing and all that, the colors and things like that, and she's into music, okay? So they have this series called the Wow Series, and they bring in somebody big as an opening day. So a couple years ago, the guest conductor for Wow was John Williams. John Williams. Star Wars, Indiana Jones. I mean, just the list is long. More Academy Awards than any other person alive. And so we're sitting in row 8, dead center. There's John Williams. And there's one piece from the movie Lincoln that starts with a single cello player. And they're so close you can touch each other. And so instead of raising his baton, John Williams just kind of looks at the cello player, just kind of leans, kind of nods. And the first cello player just starts. Pretty soon, the rest of the orchestra is in. Everyone, it's over. Wonderful piece. Everyone stands, applauds. John Williams reaches out his hands, shakes his hand. But what I got from that, as that guy was playing that first chair cello, just feet away from him is the guy who actually wrote this. He knows how it's supposed to go. He knows the tempo, the movement. He is the author of that. And he's standing right in front of you. And then I thought, there I am with my Bible in my hand, and the one who wrote it was right up there. And he looks down and says, that's how a marriage is supposed to be. That's how discipleship is. That's what it means to be a church member. That's shepherding. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Right in front of the master himself who wrote it is God. Instead of reaching out and shaking our hand, he says, well done.
Well done, good faithful servant. And that's what you and I are doing. The score is the Bible. And God is up there conducting. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to sound. This is how it's supposed to look like. And down here, you and I, and are we connected? Life the way it's meant to be. Wonderful when we're doing it. It's messy when we're not. So this morning, there may be one among us who maybe needs to be baptized. Maybe you've been coming here long enough and you know. You know what the Bible says. And you've been kind of like on the outside looking in through the windows. And it's time to understand that God had something better for you. It's not just going to church on Sunday once in a while. It's not just showing up when I've done something wrong. It's giving my heart to Jesus. That's what it means. And maybe some have been around for a long, long time. And maybe you are a Christian, but you're not living the way you're supposed to. Maybe you look at your life and say, you know what? When I look at that score and what I'm presenting here sure doesn't match. Isn't the time to get it right? We know what to do. It's right there. It's just a matter of following. Won't you come? Thank you.